principle for releasing repeated patterns is called open to a full awareness of the feelings. It is the feeling level that controls most of our inner life, yet often we are truly unconscious of our feelings. In Buddhist psychology, bringing consciousness to feelings is critical for awakening. In a teaching called the Cycle of the Arising of Conditions, the Buddha explains how humans become entangled. It is the place of feeling that binds us or frees us. When pleasant feelings arise and we automatically grasp them, or when unpleasant feelings arise and we try to avoid them, we set up a chain reaction of entanglement and suffering. This perpetuates the body of fear. However, if we learn to be aware of feelings without grasping or aversion, then they can move through us like changing weather, and we can be free to feel them and move on like the wind. It can be a very interesting meditation exercise to focus specifically on our feelings for several days. We can name each one and see which ones we are afraid of, which we are entangled by, which generate stories, and how we become free. Free is not free from feelings, but free to feel each one and let it move on, unafraid of the movement of life. We can apply this to the difficult patterns that arise for us. We can sense what feeling is at the center of each experience and open to it fully. This is a movement toward freedom. The third principle is called discover what is asking for acceptance. The general rule is simply to sit and be aware of what arises. If there are repeated patterns, expand the field of awareness. Then, sense what is asking for acceptance. Repeated patterns remain because of some level of resistance. An aversion, fear, or judgment locks them in. This contraction is built out of fear. To release it, we must acknowledge what is present and ask our heart, "How am I receiving this? Do we wish it to change? Is there a difficult feeling, belief, or sensation we have contracted around that we want to be over, to go away? Or is there some attachment, some fear?" In my earliest practice as a celibate monk, I had long bouts of lust and images of sexual fantasy. My teacher said to name them, which I did, but they often repeated. Over days and weeks, these thoughts became even stronger. Eventually, I decided to expand my awareness to see what other feelings were present. To my surprise, I found a deep well of loneliness almost every time the fantasies arose. Then, I noticed how hard it was to let myself feel the loneliness. I hated it. I resisted it. Only when I accepted this very resistance and gently held it in all compassion did it begin to subside. By expanding my attention, I learned that much of my sexuality had little to do with lust, and as I brought an acceptance to the feelings of loneliness, the compulsive quality of the fantasies gradually diminished. Sometimes an even more careful and directed attention is needed to open our repeated patterns and deepest knots. This is the fourth principle for working with insistent visitors called opening through the center. The patterns of holding in our body and mind are like knots of energy that have bodily contractions, emotions, memories, and images all intertwined. In this practice, we carefully direct our awareness to each level of a knot, feeling into the very center of the pattern. In doing so, we can release our identification with it and discover a fundamental openness and well-being beyond the contraction. How is this done in practice? The loneliness I encountered that was giving rise to sexual fantasies can be an example. It returned often and painfully, even though I named it and felt it with care. Loneliness has been one of my deepest sources of pain for as long as I can remember. I'm a twin, and sometimes I think I got my brother to come along in the womb so I could have some company. As with each of the practices I've described, it is best to start with awareness of the body. As the loneliness continued to arise, I brought more careful attention to where it was held. Mostly it felt centered in my stomach. I then tried to feel what are called the physical elements in it, the earth, hardness or softness, air, stillness and vibration, fire, temperature, and water, cohesiveness or fluidity, plus sometimes color and texture. It was a hard sphere, pulsing in the center, hot and fiery red. Next, I shifted to sense deeply all the feelings interwoven in it. Fear, pain, sadness, longing, and hunger were all present, along with a general aversion to feeling these states. I named each one softly. Then, while feeling into the center of the fire, pain, and hunger, I allowed whatever images wished to arise. There came a whole series of memories and pictures of abandonment and rejection. As I felt into this center, I asked myself what beliefs and attitudes I held about it. The story that came out sounded like a child who says, "There's something insufficient, wrong with me, I will always be rejected." It was this belief, along with the attendant feelings, that I had identified with and contracted around. As I continued to feel into the center of the loneliness, I seemed to sense a hole or space in my belly that the pain had closed around. I named this central hole softly, felt its deep hunger, longing, and emptiness. Then I let it open as much as it wanted, instead of closing around it as I had done for so many years. As I did, it got bigger and softer, and all the vibrations around it became very fine. The hole changed to open space, and its hungry quality shifted. Though it was empty, it became more like clear, empty space. Gradually, this filled more of my body, and with it, a sense of light and fulfillment arose. I was filled with a sense of ease and profound contentment and peace. Resting in this open space, the whole notion of rejection and insufficiency was totally unnecessary. I could see that all of it, the loneliness, pain, sadness, thoughts of rejection, was a contraction of my body and mind based on the frightened and very limited sense of myself that I had carried for a long time. But here, resting in the spaciousness and wholeness, I knew it was not true. And while the pain of loneliness has certainly come again in my life, I now know for certain it is not who I am. I have learned that its beliefs and contractions are based on fear, and that underlying it all is a genuine wholeness and well-being that is our true nature. These are extraordinary times for a spiritual seeker. Modern spiritual bookstores bulge with texts of Christian, Jewish, Sufi, and Hindu mystical practices. Yet, many of these accounts are contradictory. Already we have seen how strongly perspectives can differ within the Buddhist traditions, from schools that seek enlightenment through purification and altered states of consciousness, to those that say it is this seeking itself that keeps us from realizing our true enlightenment here and now. The many contradictory perspectives we encounter pose one of the great dilemmas of spiritual life. What are we to believe? To answer this question, it is worth asking ourselves, what is it that we can see and know directly for ourselves? Are these simple truths not enough? I've asked this question of many meditation groups, and usually people answer with the simple truths, such as, "Whatever view or opinion I hold, I realize there is some other." Or, "This world has night and day, and light and dark, and pleasure and pain. It is comprised of opposites." Or, "When I'm attached, I suffer." Or, "Love is what has really brought me happiness in this life." Our liberation and happiness arise from our own deep knowing, and it doesn't matter what anyone says to the contrary. Our spiritual life becomes unshakable only when we are connected with our own realization of the truth.